You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferriesburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
But man, I'm also excited about the I Am series. How many of you guys have been enjoying the I Am series that we've been in? There are seven proclamations by Jesus himself. This fall, we said, we're going to discuss who is Jesus. And so far, we've looked that Jesus is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He's the door. He's the good shepherd. And today, number five, you find it in John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said this about himself: I am the resurrection and the life. Will you say that with me? I am the resurrection and the life. And I'll tell you, I've been excited to study this. I'm excited this morning to share this. It feels like Resurrection Sunday, like it's Easter. And I know it's not Easter, but can we have a little Easter in September today? All right, well, you're in for a ride. And I just want to remind you that when Jesus used these I am phrases, he's declaring his deity. He is saying, I am God. And also, when we really lean into that, we see that these truths, these I am statements, we've said that the I am changes who I am. He changes us. And hopefully, we've been growing. That's the underlying theme of this series. So I want to just mention that there are seven I am statements in the book of John. There are also seven miracles. Today, they intersect, and you'll see how that works out. But each of these statements, the I ams, reveal different aspects about who Jesus is. And the seven miracles are there for our pleasure as well. And it's interesting that Jesus starts off with the first miracle. Anybody call it the turning water into wine? You know the story. And he starts off kind of secretly. You know, this miracle, his mom begs him basically to do something. He does. He turns the water into wine. But it's kind of secretly. And at this point, the seventh miracle in the book of John, this is on blast, loud and clear. We're still talking about it today. It's the raising of his friend Lazarus. And today, like I mentioned, the proclamation, the I am, the resurrection of life, is planted smack dab in the middle of the seventh miracle. And it's based on a true story. It is a true story. How many of you like based on a true story movies or a book that's based on a true story? Okay, this is what I want you to do. First service, I had people like yell out movies, and like three people did. It was horrible. I'm like, all right, I got to learn from that. What I want you to do, I want you to turn to your neighbor and think and then tell them, what is your favorite based on a true story movie or a book? Go. We're going to give you 10, 15 seconds, all right? Think about it. What is it? I heard Remember the Titans, Radio. Someone said, is Forrest Gump a true story? No. Hidden Figures. Pastor Sean said, Passion of the Christ. Overachiever. Super spiritual over here. Unbroken. Miracle. All right. You got your favorite movie locked in? Favorite based on a true story? Listen, I am on a based on a true story kick. I don't want to watch a movie unless it's based on a true story. Jessica can attest to it. All sabbatical long, but really even before that, all year long, I've been, is it based on a true story? If so, I want to watch it. And so it's kind of fun. Well, I say that because John chapter 11 is not only based on a true story, it is absolutely a true story. This story that we're going to get our mind around actually happened. Now, like all good movies, there's some pain and some suffering, some hurt. This story we're about to read in John 11 has a lot of questions. It leaves you asking the question, why? There are four main characters, actually five with Jesus, and the story is focused, at least for our time this morning, on four D words: doubt, delay, disappointment, and death. Anyone feeling encouraged yet? And each of these D words are tied, or at least I'm going to tie them, to a character: Lazarus, Martha, Mary, and Thomas, which that was kind of a surprise. I'd never seen. Pastor Bobby, I want you to come. He's going to help us here. But like a good book or like a good movie based on a true story, there's always a redemption. There's hope found in this story. And in this case, there's a promise of life. Everyone say life. But it's contingent on what we believe. So I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 11. And I've asked Pastor Bobby to read because, I mean, Pastor Bobby's got the voice, doesn't he?
A good story also needs a good narrator.
A good narrator. And if I was reading it, I would try to read it too fast. I'd miss words. I'd make things up. And so without further ado, let's read together. We're not reading together. We're going to listen and follow along. John chapter 11, verse 1 through 44.
In a world, a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." But when Jesus heard about it, he said, "Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this." So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." But his disciples objected. "Rabbi," they said, "only a few days ago the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again?" And Jesus replied, "There are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk freely. They can see because they have the light of the world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light." Then he said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up." The disciples said, "Lord, if he is sleeping, he will get better." They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. And so we told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him." Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let's go to and die with Jesus." When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." But Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die." "Do you believe this, Martha?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God." Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, "The teacher is here and wants to see you." So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus's grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him. And he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked them. They told him, "Lord, come and see." And this is the very first scripture I ever memorized right here. Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him." But some said, "This man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." And Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of these people standing here so that they will believe you have sent me." And then he shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. And Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go."
Let's give Bobby a hand. Woo! Lord, I pray that this story will come alive right here, right now. And for those that are at home, sick, and I know there's several that are suffering in some way, Lord, I pray that you'd not only touch them, but Lord, let this message be a blessing to them as well. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned that there are four characters, five, including Jesus. Jesus is always the character, right? But let's start with Thomas. I didn't realize that Thomas was in this story until I started studying this. But let's just remind ourselves who Thomas was. He was one of the 12 chosen by Jesus, one of the 12 disciples. Thomas was more logical than some of the other disciples. You could probably say he was a black and white thinker. And he was known for his good looks. Is that what we all know? No. What was Thomas known for? He was Thomas the doubter. That's right. And so when you see this little phrase or little sentence in this story, John 11:16 says, "Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let's go to and die with Jesus.'" You might think, what was that even doing in this story? And what I understand is that this is probably has a little sarcasm in it. What Thomas is saying is this is probably not going to work out. He was doubting. He's saying this is not good. He's looking at the circumstances in the story, and there are some serious doubts as to what is going on. Lazarus is dying. And Jesus hasn't moved an inch to go see him. And he's thinking to himself, does Jesus even care? And I'm wondering, how many of us can put ourselves in Thomas's shoes? Who in this room, let's just see by the show of hands, have ever struggled with doubts? Come on, we all probably have. And let's just talk about spiritual doubts for a moment. We even struggle there. Thought that Jesus would do something, and then Jesus doesn't do it the way we think it should have been done. Of course, we're in the 40-day prayer, fasting, and giving challenge. And by the way, we have extras of these cards. If you want to join us on that journey, you just take the card, you take it, fill this portion out. You can put it in any of the giving receptacles. You keep this, and you can do that. But because I was thinking about that, I was thinking about our first building program here, and we're sitting in a miracle. We talk about that often, but when we first started raising the funds, I really sensed in my spirit that we were going to raise the funds, that we had everything we needed, kind of the way I feel now, that we have everything we need to get to the finish line, and I said publicly that I felt like we would raise the funds within 9 months. And I used the analogy of a woman being pregnant and giving birth, and that we were giving birth to a... Why are you laughing at me? It was what I did, right? And 9 months came and went, and we didn't raise all the funds, although I believe we could have. I mean, God can do anything, but it ended up taking us 3 years. How many have ever been there? You're like, man... I thought Jesus would do something, and then it didn't happen the way I thought. Even with the current situation, we believe, our board believes, our staff believes that this is a 2024 project. And we've been saying that, and we're saying, and I'm saying, all right, Lord, God, you're doing this. But Lord, even in a circumstance like this, Lord, help my unbelief. How many understand you've been there before? And we're going to come back to Thomas at the end, but certainly in this story, we see some doubters asking why. The second character that is important is Martha, and it's a familiar name. You know it if you've read the Gospels, or the Gospels. And Martha was one of the women that followed Jesus, cared for Jesus, cared for the team. And if you've watched the movie Chosen, or the shows The Chosen, you see how the women are all around, they're serving, they're helping, all those things. Well, Martha was one of those. In John chapter 11, verse 17, it says, when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he told told them that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. Everyone say 4 days. And what I see in this story, and we'll see it unfold here, is that Martha was dealing with that second D word, delay. In her mind, Jesus should have come right away. She's saying, aren't we even important? We've been serving you in all these ways. And Lazarus was her brother. They were all very, very close. And what we see is that Martha, in the story, leaves her home, the place of grieving where people had come. And when she heard that Jesus was finally coming 4 days later, and she's saying, man, I don't understand the delay. 4 days dead. How many are Princess Bride fans? We're talking dead, dead. Not just mostly dead. If you know the story, you'll chuckle. And you say, well, why 4 days? Well, there was a popular belief in that time. It wasn't a biblical belief, but they believed that a spirit would stick around for 3 days. And so now all hope is gone. Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. Talk about a delay. How many of us have ever dealt with delay? Maybe you're a good Christian girl, and you have this heart to get married, and you're saying, man, I've been faithful, but I never seem to find the right mate. Delay. Or maybe you get married and you want kids, and all of a sudden there's a baby delay. Infertility. Or what about estrangement? We've got a class about it. One of our connect groups are talking about it. And you're saying, why are my kids not wanting to talk to me? You've been waiting for them to reunite, and for some reason, it hasn't happened. There's been delay. Or maybe the hardest is maybe you've been praying for a loved one to give their heart to Jesus, and you've prayed not only days, but months and years, and in some cases, decades, and they still haven't surrendered their hearts to Jesus, and you're asking the question, why? Delays make us ask the question, why? And Martha, I want you to notice that even in the delay, she kept pursuing Jesus. Look at it. There was a huge delay. 4 days. John 11, 21 and 22. Martha and said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But verse 22 says, but even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. I want you to put yourself in Martha's shoes here for a moment. Jesus had been a no-show. And death is ugly. If you've ever been in a hospital room, or if you've ever experienced when someone has taken their last breath, often there's a loss of dignity there. And Martha has just gone through this. She's grieving. And Martha could have been upset, could have been bitter, could have lost her faith. And all of us would have understood those emotions for sure. But what does Martha do? She pursues Jesus in the delay. So we've got doubt, we've got delay. Let's talk about Mary for a moment. Mary, it gives us the description at the beginning of the story that she's the one. This is not mother of Jesus, but the one that was following. It's actually Martha's sister, but she's the one that poured out the expensive perfume on Jesus, on his feet, anointed him. She loved Jesus. She served him. I would say that she served over the top. And what's interesting in the story in John 11:20 says when Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, Martha did, but Mary stayed in the house. What do we see here? What's happening to Mary? I would just say Mary is the type of person, when you think about the Gateway Church, and if you know, if you've been plugged in, it's the person that serves and serves and serves, goes over the top. And is she giving up? She didn't run after Jesus at first. Well, let's look at it. John 11:32, when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, and by the way, Jesus asked for her to come, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been there, my brother would not have died." Now, that's the exact word for word what Martha said. I don't know if you caught that. Identical, same words. But can you feel the discouragement, the disappointment? When I think of Mary in this story, I think discouraged. Why bother? She didn't even get up and go after Jesus. Jesus had to call for her, and then she came. Dead is dead. Disappointed. Mary doesn't know the end of the story, how it's going to end. Her current situation, think about it. In her mind, 4 days is final. And she would have been right. Mary didn't know how this was going to end. She was discouraged. How many of you can put yourself in her spot and say, honestly, there's been moments in your life you've been discouraged? And maybe even a more important question, maybe today, you're experiencing some discouragement. Maybe you've got a smile on your face, but on the inside, you're dying. Maybe you just feel like you can't get a break, or you feel stuck in some way, or you feel like nothing in your current circumstances would ever change. Maybe there's a misconception. Maybe you're saying to yourself, if God was good, why would he allow you fill in the blank to happen? I know I've been there. Doubt, delay, discouragement. Thomas, Martha, and Mary. But there's another character, Lazarus. And it doesn't get much better for Lazarus. He was a great friend of Jesus, super close. But in John 11:1, it says, a man named Lazarus was sick. And we're talking sick unto death. 4 days dead. And I want to just pause here for a moment. Because when you think of that, and then Jesus comes on the scene, we see this famous verse, the easiest to memorize in all of Scripture. If you ever need to memorize a Scripture, this is the one. Jesus wept. Jesus wept, John 11:35. And what I see here is so important for us to get our mind around, is that when loss comes, death or suffering, God invites us to grieve. It's okay. And actually, Jesus grieves with us. It says he wept. He shared our grief. What's the fourth D word? The fourth D word is death. And death certainly is a natural part of life. It's a hard concept to get our minds around fully. There's a lot of unknowns around it. It certainly can cause emotion. No matter what background, no matter what culture, no matter what lifestyle, we all share death, right? And this is where the based on a true story, a true story gets really good. John's final miracle, his seventh miracle, combined with Jesus's I am statement, I am the resurrection and the life. And apparently, according to the story, Jesus can conquer death. This miracle, jaw-dropping, mind-blown, all to show that Jesus' I am statements, claims of deity were true. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is here. And the focus is not so much on Lazarus, at least it shouldn't be. Lazarus being raised to life is more than just one man's life journey. He died again. How many know that, right? This story is a story about Jesus. And Jesus is preparing his followers, he's preparing us for the cross and the resurrection that really, at this point in the story, is fast coming. And what we know today is that we can face death with an unwavering faith. We call it resurrection or death to life. Right? If you've been baptized here at the Gateway Church the last few years, we have shirts that say death to life. It's a relationship with Jesus. And what does he offer? Life. You say, how do we receive this life? It's not your good attitude or your good behavior. It's not your giving or your attendance. It's not your family heritage or somehow your DNA strand that's going to just cause you to experience life. It's not your knowledge or your what you can learn. How do we receive life? It can be answered in one word. And what's interesting, in John chapter 11 alone, that one word is used 9 different times, at least in the New Living Translation, and that one word is believe. Believing in Jesus. This story of D words, delay, doubt, discouragement, and death is not final. This is a story of hope. Not wishful thinking, fairy tales. No, a real miracle, a real resurrection. And then you fast forward to Jesus' death and resurrection. And there is confidence if we believe. That's the Easter story, even in September of 2024. Believe. Now, I want to go back to Thomas for a moment. I wonder, why was that little phrase in there, that little sarcastic, we're all going to die with Jesus, from Thomas? He struggled with unbelief. He struggled with doubt. Turn with me to John chapter 20. Because in John chapter 20, I just think we get the heart of who Thomas is. It's the story of Jesus' resurrection starts in John chapter 20. And then Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. He appears to all the disciples, but Thomas is missing. And let's pick up the story in verse 24. And look for this word, believe, over and over. It says, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, so we're talking about the same Thomas, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, we have seen the Lord. But he replied, and this is why he gets a bad rap, he says, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands. Put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound on his side. Kind of weird, right? But whatever. 8 days later, wasn't like Jesus was in a hurry even here to just come and rescue Thomas. He let him struggle with this for 8 days. Talk about delay. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked. And suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Can you just even imagine if Jesus just appeared in the flesh here? Would anyone be scared? I would be. And that's why Jesus said, peace be with you. And then he turned his attention to Thomas. Look at this. For all the doubters in the room, he said, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. My Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed, and then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. And he's talking about us. None of us have seen Jesus in the flesh, but we believe even without seeing. And then the next two verses speak to the purpose of why John even wrote the Gospel of John, says this: the disciples saw Jesus do many other miracle signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book, but these were written so that you may continue, say it with me, to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. Jesus really is the Son of God. Jesus really did conquer death. And the question this morning for each of us to wrestle with is, do you believe? Do you believe? Let's go back to our story. John chapter 11, verse 26. After I am the resurrection and the life, the next verse says, everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? These D words, delay, doubt, discouragement, and even death are actually covered in hope. And the truth is today, we face on this side of eternity some hard things. You might be facing some hard things today. A lot of people are hurting. There's people that are sick. Maybe it's joblessness that you're struggling with. Maybe your dream marriage has turned more into a nightmare. Or maybe the principal called this week to talk to you about little Johnny, and it wasn't to say he's on the honor roll. We face a lot of trouble. There's hardship. Even in James, the book of James says, in this world we will have trouble, right? And it's tough. Ted in the back, just give us a little wave back here. Ted, he said last week after last week's message, he said, hey, next week might be tough for me. I said, why? And he said, well, you got to study that two little word phrase, Jesus wept. And I said, okay. And then I asked him to send me the reason why. And I'm telling this with permission. He told me I could say. He emailed me the story of when his dad passed back in the 80s. And it's still alive, but that the fact that Jesus wept, it was meaningful. And to know that Jesus cares, it means a whole lot, doesn't it, Ted? Yeah. Whatever you're facing, Jesus cares. In fact, Valo and I, we were reading out of my Bible in John chapter 11, right by Jesus wept. I have in my Bible, I like to write in my Bible. I think it's a good idea. I wrote in there, Jesus cares. Did that years ago. And Jesus, he's the one that gives life. If we believe, we have hope if we believe, and it's life that is most critical. He's the resurrection and the life. And a result of a relationship with Jesus is to receive the resurrection and the life. Jesus invites us into new life. And yes, when I'm talking about life, I'm talking about a future glory, yes. But not just future glory, I'm talking about our present reality. Jesus walks with us, he helps us. And even in the face of death, he gives life. That means we can face illness and grief and even death with an eternal perspective. We get grace and supernatural strength to face these hard things. We get life. What that means, church, is that divorce does not have to be the final say. Cancer does not have to be the final say. Infertility does not have to be the final say. Rejection, heartbreak does not have to be the final say. Those four D words, doubt, delay, discouragement, and even death do not have to be the final say, because we, when we believe, get to experience life. Pastor Bobby, if you'd come and your team, I want to bring this to a close. This morning, I want to ask you to wrestle with those four D words. And As we move through these, what I'm going to ask is that if you are wrestling with doubt in some way, or delay, discouragement, or even with death around a circumstance, in a moment, we're all going to respond together. But let's just talk about those just briefly. Doubt. You're wondering, you're asking the question, why? If you're here this morning and you've got doubts, you're in a safe place. Jesus can take those doubts. It doesn't offend him. And you can explore those doubts. Your doubts at the foot of the cross, no problem. Some of you, though, right now are experiencing some delay. You're saying, man, I thought my life would be different by now. Or you thought the money was coming, but it hasn't. Or you thought there was, something was going to move in a relationship, and there's been delay after delay after delay. And like I said earlier, delays leave us asking the question, why? And the truth is, there's probably many of us here that you're experiencing some disappointment in your life as well. And it might be related to the delay or the doubt, but there's just discouragement, disappointment. And I just want you to know that Jesus, he cares. And he knows right where you are. And even death doesn't have the final say. If you've experienced death, I know Bobby lost your dad earlier this year. I'm thinking Ken, it's been just over a year for your wife, and others, they're just, back even to the eight. Like, it's, for me, I was thinking about my grandma and grandpa. I've lost both of them in the last few years. And man, when you think about it, those emotions come back. And what's great is that Jesus, he cares. He grieves with us. I'm going to ask that you be real bold here this morning. If you are dealing with one of those four D words this morning, if you've got some doubts, if you're experiencing a delay in some way, discouragement or death, I want you just to stand right where you are. Just be right, nice and bold. In first service, a lot of people were facing some of these things. Yeah, and I know some of your stories. Questions, why is your mom, why did that happen? Or just all these things. And what I want us to do is I want us to do a little body ministry, caring for each other this morning. What I want you to do is look around and find someone that's standing, and we're all going to stand. Let's go ahead and stand. And what I want you to do is I want you just to come, and if you know the person, great. You might know the circumstance, but otherwise, just go and pray. Put your hand on their shoulder. We're going to pray a blessing over each other, that in the face of doubt, in the face of a delay, the face of disappointment, even the face of death, that God is there. He cares for us. So just do that. I want you to move. And if you stood next to someone that stood, you can pray for each other, okay? But I want to make sure everyone is prayed for that stood. Just make a note of it. Who was standing? Move to them, and I'll pray. And you agree with me. Dear Jesus, we pray right now that in this moment, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would breathe life into this room, breathe life into these circumstances. And God, you know the intricate details of why certain people stood. Lord, they're experiencing some doubts about their faith, their doubt about their circumstance, or if they can make it. They're feeling struggle, Lord, in some way. God, I pray that you'd speak life. For those that are having delay of their kids coming back to you to know you, or a delay in finance, or a delay in some other way, God, I pray that you would just open up the door. And Lord, I just declare, Lord, that you're moving and your timing is good. Lord, I pray for peace and life to just flood in the delay. And my guess is there were several that stood for discouragement, disappointment. Something didn't go right. Something went sideways. But God, you take us right where we are. And even in the discouragement, God, you're returning that death into life. Lord, I pray that there would be hope in the face of discouragement because we believe in you, the risen Son of God. And Lord, I pray for those that our minds go to death. And Lord, whether that was decades ago or more recent, God, I pray that you would sweep in. And Lord, you would grieve with us. And Lord, we'd experience your loving arms wrapped around us. We thank you for this. God, we give you the praise. We give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord, for ministering. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone say, from death to life.
Death to life.
That's what is offered when we believe. We don't deserve it. But man, I'm grateful for it. I hope you are too. This morning, last thing, or this afternoon at this point, I want everyone to grab one of the yellow sheets that's near you. And no one leave here for just a second, please. Everyone should have one. Just grab it next to you. This is our Connect Group season. And at first blush, it could seem overwhelming. There are a lot of options. There's a lot of things happening here at the Gateway Church. And one of the things we were talking about as a team, Pastor Bobby was saying, he's like, man, sometimes when you have a lot of options, you choose to do nothing. And that is certainly not what we want for you, okay? What we're saying is we have people that have stepped up to lead these groups. The Bogards are opening their home. We got men's breakfast. In fact, this next Saturday is our first men's breakfast. Guys, you need to be there. It's going to be an incredible time. We got stuff for young adults and on the second Sunday and the Tuesday of each month. We had a craft night that happened yesterday. That's already passed. I understand the pickleball group is closed. They're a bunch of snobs, okay? But they're on their way already. We got Paul and Rachel Marr doing emotionally healthy spirituality. And Brenda Rathbun, who's sick at home today, but is going to lead the estranged children's. Matt and Gwen Kelleher are opening up their home. I mean, how awesome is that? We got Wendy Folker going to be ministering to the ladies. Bob Boss with the guys with men's breakfast on Tuesday morning. And Pastor Bobby is going to be teaching on Wednesday night. You should be here. And if you're saying none of those apply or none of those appeal to you, come and pray with your pastor on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8. Especially during the, in fact, this week, there's no connect groups except pickleball, but that happens today. So there's no excuse. You should come and pray this Wednesday night with us. We're praying for Built to Thrive. We're praying for God to continue to move. But we'll be praying every Wednesday night as well. And you say, all right, well, there's a lot of choices. We want you to pick one. Let's start there. Don't do all these things. If you do all these things, I'll just say, you're crazy. You're not doing it right. Don't do them all. Start with one, maybe two. I'm just saying, you could hang out with the Bogards and still pray on Wednesday night. All right. We love you. Father, I pray that you go. I'm not finishing prayer yet. On your way out today, we're going to dismiss all the Connect Group leaders. So the Bogards, you can go. Pastor Sean. I'm not sure which other ones are here. If you're leading a Connect Group, there are a bunch of first service here. Go out in the lobby. On your way out, there's a table with sign-ups. We want you to sign up so we know who's coming to these. We got one more week until they launch. Again, pickleball is closed, but all the rest are ready to go, and we want you to be a part of those. And so interact with that table. Pick one, sign up so we know you're coming. Now I'm going to pray. Lord, I pray that you go before us, behind us, and all around us. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go in the grace of God. We love you.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.